welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, and as we all know, insomnia is a very common problem. When asked, 30 to 50% of patients have some difficulty falling asleep or getting a good night's sleep. It is well known that improving sleep hygiene using cognitive behavior therapy is effective in most cases. Unfortunately, most patients take over-the-counter remedies, most of which are of questionable benefit, and they are prescribed sedatives, which are only recommended for short-term use and can lead to dependency. Joining me today is Dylan Lindsay and Lori Fleming to talk about a novel approach to this problem. A recent study published in JAMA Psychiatry evaluated a web-based approach to providing cognitive behavior therapy to patients with insomnia. Doctors Lindsay and Fleming wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled, Getting Some Shut-Eye, Using the Internet to Treat Patients with Insomnia. Dr. Lindsay is a PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy practice resident, and Dr. Fleming is associate professor of pharmacy practice, and both are my colleagues here at the University of Mississippi School of Pharmacy in Jackson, Mississippi. Dylan, Lori, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited to be here with you, Stuart.
So, Lori, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Effect of a Web-Based Cognitive Behavior Therapy for Insomnia Intervention with One-Year Follow-Up, a randomized clinical trial, also known as the Shut-Eye Study, to someone who hasn't read that paper, what would you say?
Sure. The Sleep Healthy Using the Internet Study, or Shut-Eye, is a randomized prospective single-blind clinical trial that sought to compare a branded online cognitive behavioral therapy program called Shut-Eye against standardized online patient education in terms of improvement in sleep outcomes, such as scores on the Insomnia Severity Index, sleep onset latency, and wake after sleep onset. Study participants were recruited online via the Shut-Eye website and were randomized in a one-to-one fashion to receive either the web-based cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, tailored to their responses, or to an online website with patient education available regarding insomnia treatments. Patients were assessed at baseline, 9 weeks, 6 months, and 1 year after study enrollment, with assessments focusing predominantly on participant responses to the Insomnia Severity Index and sleep diary questions designed to assess other clinically relevant sleep parameters like sleep onset latency, wake after sleep onset, and sleep quality. Researchers found that after 1 year of utilizing these interventions, patients experienced improvements in all primary study outcomes for both study groups, with a statistically significant improvement in the Shut-Eye group compared to the patient education group. The improvements noted in sleep outcomes were similar to improvements seen in previous studies utilizing face-to-face cognitive behavioral therapy, which seemed to suggest that this internet-based intervention may be as beneficial in improving sleep outcomes as working with the medical professional in person.
Now, Lori, studies are never perfect, and there are always trade-offs when designing a study. The design decisions can sometimes introduce bias. So please tell us what you believe are the key strengths of this study, and second, tell us about any potential confounders or sources of bias you think might be present.
A notable strength of this study is that adherence to the online program was good despite its being completely automated. Another strength is that patients with controlled psychiatric and comorbid conditions were not excluded, which mimics our patients in practice. However, we do need to be cognizant of the fact that patients chose to enroll in this trial knowing that the intervention was internet-based, which selects for patients who prefer this format, own technology capable of accessing the internet, and are comfortable using the internet. The demographics of study participants, the majority reported being well-educated and having a certain level of comfort with utilizing the internet. The study authors even went as far as to point out this potential for bias in the results by highlighting the fact that it is likely given the proficiency of the study subjects that participants were able to infer their randomized group and thus resulted in an unblinded study design. We also have to take into account that participants were incentivized, which may have had an impact on program adherence.
So Dylan, most of us learned in school that improved sleep hygiene is really the best treatment for insomnia in most cases. Not only is it free of side effects and doesn't lead to dependency, cognitive behavioral therapy can have long-lasting impact because it trains patients to have new habits. First, why isn't CBT used more often in primary care settings? And second, what's the best practices for CBT for the treatment of insomnia? And lastly, how well did the automated web-based program used in Shut-Eye study adhere to these best practice principles?
I think the main reason you don't see CBT being utilized more often is that there simply aren't enough healthcare providers who are adequately trained to deliver those services to patients suffering from insomnia. That's one of the reasons programs like Shut-Eye are being looked at and evaluated with such interest, because they would allow for the delivery of CBT without the need for a trained healthcare provider to meet with the patient in person. Speaking to your question about best practices, the National Sleep Foundation suggests that it may be necessary to have meetings with patients as often as every week in order to conduct ongoing sleep assessments and evaluate patient sleep diaries. So there's a pretty significant time component involved, not only on the part of the healthcare provider, but also on the part of the patient. We're also asking the patient to modify their lifestyle in most cases by focusing on things like avoidance of substances like caffeine, alcohol, and tobacco, which many of us in the primary care setting will know is often easier said than done. Other techniques providers can recommend to patients include things like avoiding naps during the day, taking steps to prevent clock watching while trying to sleep, maintaining a consistent sleep-wake schedule even on the weekends, and maintaining a regular exercise regimen. Shut-Eye does a good job of adhering to these best practices in terms of delivery of their web-based services and the tools they utilized in the study to evaluate improvements in patient sleep, which is another reason it and similar programs appear to be so promising.
Dylan, I want you to imagine you're seeing a patient for the first time today in clinic. The patient is a 53-year-old African-American man who is referred by his primary care provider for follow-up and management of high blood pressure, for which he takes immediate-release metoprolol 50 milligrams twice daily. Now, the patient has had a long-standing history of seasonal allergy. The patient's blood pressure today is 146 over 92, and his pulse is 82 beats per minute. And he states that his home readings are typically in the 140 to 60 on the top and 90 to 100 on the bottom. And during your interview, the patient admits that he's been having difficulty falling and staying asleep. He's been using ZQIL for the past 3 to 4 months. At first, it seemed to help, but it's not doing much for me now, he says. He'd like to try melatonin, but he's not sure it's okay to take with his blood pressure medicine. His primary care doctor gave him a prescription for Lunesta, but it wasn't covered by his health plan formulary, and he's not able to afford it. What would be your initial approach to evaluating this patient? If we assume that CBT is an appropriate initial approach, what are some of the online tools available today to clinicians that they can prescribe to patients? And would you recommend the patient try one of these options?
Well, given that the patient has documented hypertension that does not appear to be controlled based on his home measurements, the first thing that I would want to know is if he's ever completed a sleep study to assess for other sleep disorders such as sleep apnea. Oftentimes, what you'll see with patients suffering from sleep disorders is that they also have comorbid medical or psychiatric conditions that may be contributing to or resulting from the sleep disorder. You can elicit more information from the patient by asking questions about whether or not they snore, frequently wake up, experiencing a headache, or suffer from daytime symptoms related to a lack of sleep. There are also several scales you can utilize in a clinical setting to provide a more standardized approach to assessment of potential sleep disorders, such as the Epworth Sleepiness Scale or the Insomnia Severity Index mentioned in this article. Regarding the online tools available from prescribing CBT, there is, of course, the Shut-Eye program discussed in this article. However, there are several other online programs that offer CBT for patients with insomnia, such as the Restore program through Cobalt Therapeutics, Sleep Tutor, and CBTforinsomnia.com. There are also several apps for smartphone users such as the CBTi Coach and Sleepio, based on data presented in the literature, my initial suggestion for a patient suffering from insomnia would be to attempt utilizing one of these resources, as CBT has not only been proven effective, but also carries little to no risk of adverse events like you see with the prescription sleep aids like Zolpidem, Trazodone, or the benzodiazepines. Unfortunately, I think one of the biggest obstacles to patients utilizing these resources is patient buy-in, both literally and figuratively. These resources do cost money and do require a baseline access to certain technologies that may not be readily available to all patients with insomnia. We also have a healthcare culture in this country that is so highly dependent on medication use that oftentimes those are the only treatment options that patients perceive to be of benefit. So convincing a patient to attempt treatment with something like an internet-based program or a smartphone app can be a challenge in and of itself, because you're asking the patient to engage in lifestyle modifications versus simply taking a pill.
Well, thank you, Dylan and Lori, for joining us today to discuss the treatment of insomnia and the use of web-based tools delivering cognitive behavioral therapy. The use of online tools and smartphone apps for health-related purposes continues to grow and evolve. And like many interventions, it's important that we demand rigorous studies be conducted to prove their effectiveness. Now, it's clear from your comments that you believe the Shuti tool and other online CBT tools for insomnia are effective, and we should consider recommending them to our patients. But tell us what you think. We welcome your comments. Only iFormRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.